This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Hamley. More people living on and off the coast of New England will soon be at a greater risk from flooding. That's due to the heavier rain and rising seas of climate change. It'll mean more pressure on the federal flood insurance system, which is already overstretched and is being overhauled this year. As part of our Earth Week special coverage of the climate emergency, NHPR's environmental reporter Annie Ropeek is here to tell us more. She leads our reporting project By Degrees. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Rick.
Okay, Annie, remind us first why flood insurance is something that's run by the federal government and what that program looks like.
So flooding is traditionally thought of as a disaster that was too costly for private insurers to want to take on. So in 1968, the federal government stepped in. Congress created the National Flood Insurance Program under the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. So this means that if you have a federally backed mortgage, your bank is going to require you to have flood insurance from the federal government. You can also opt in even if you're not required. And this is if you live in certain special flood zones that FEMA designates on maps that they kind of update routinely. And it's not just on the coast. These are everywhere. They're on creeks and rivers, lakes and ponds. You can have them in a city. You can have them in a rural area. And they can cost anywhere from hundreds to thousands of dollars a year, depending on your level of risk. And if your house floods, this policy, like any insurance, will help pay for that damage. And, you know, this is more likely to happen than many people might think. FEMA notes on its website for flood insurance maps that people even in low to moderate risk flood zones are five times as likely to experience a flood than a fire in the next 30 years. And FEMA doesn't even account that much for climate change right now, which is changing soon. But climate change, as we've heard, is going to make those floods even more likely.
So tell us about the people who tend to have flood insurance here in New Hampshire right now. Where are they? And what have they been telling you about their coverage and their experiences?
So we have about 7,700 policyholders in New Hampshire right now. And the greatest concentration in New Hampshire, it won't surprise you, is in Hampton Beach. They're at one of the greatest risks for sea level rise of anywhere in New England. There's a lot of expensive properties there. But the flood insurance policies are scattered all over the state. I talk to people in, you know, the sort of Manchester suburbs. I talk to people in the Lakes region. A lot of people that I talked to were added to the flood maps after the Mother's Day and Patriots Day floods of 2006 and 2007, even if they didn't flood during those years. And it's been a hardship for a lot of people. You know, I talked to a homeowner on a little creek in Goffstown and another person who lives on an inlet off of Lake Massasequam in Bradford. They both said their premiums have gone up by thousands of dollars over the years. They've never had a problem with flooding. They don't feel like they're at risk. And even if they are, it's not worth the money to them to pay this much to cover it. And they're actually working to pay off their mortgages early so that they can get out of their policies. But for other people I spoke to, you know, these risks feel very real, and flood insurance is kind of like a necessary burden, like any kind of insurance. So people who see flooding all the time in Hampton Beach, for example. And then I did want to tell you about one woman I talked to in Hillsborough, Judy Miskelly. Judy has a little house on a little brook called Sand Creek.
Well, it's beautiful. It's idyllic. Everybody that comes to the home is like, oh my goodness, this is just so relaxing. And the sounds of the brook babbling is just wonderful to fall to sleep to at night. So I love it.
And Judy has seen the water from that babbling brook, you know, get within inches of her house when the creek gets really high, even just in sort of routine spring melt or a rainstorm. But she still, you know, really values having this coverage. She wants to hang on to it in case of a future disaster.
I definitely see a need. I see how close the water has come. I believe the climate is changing. I do believe that there's a chance that my home could flood. But I also understand that the cost to replace it isn't going to be $1 million.
So Judy's just worried that there could be a big spike in her premiums someday that, you know, she can't predict and won't be able to afford. But she's had a lot of trouble getting information from FEMA about how her rates could change under this new system that they are rolling out this year.
Tell us a little more about how these risks and costs will increase due to climate change. What are the takeaways from the data that you've been seeing?
So I've been looking at an NPR analysis of some data from the nonprofit First Street Foundation, which does sort of risk modeling for flooding. They account for climate change a lot more than FEMA does. And this data finds that across New Hampshire, an average of 5% more homes will face a risk of flood damage by 2050 due to climate change. And that might not sound like much, but it's an increase of 1 in 20 homes. And then the value of that damage will increase even more. That's expected to go up by an average of more than 10%. And NPR also found that low-income homeowners are tending to pay higher flood insurance premiums for lower risk, and that disparity is also expected to increase.
Why that disparity?
So it seems to have a lot to do with FEMA's risk rating system, which doesn't currently account for things like home value, for example. So, you know, a really expensive coastal home and Judy's little house in Hillsboro might be considered sort of more on an even playing field than arguably they should be based on just how much it would cost to fix them up if they flooded, like Judy said. And homes built before the system began can also be grandfathered into lower rates. There's just little things like that that just make the system really outdated, not really ready to deal with sort of the level of costs that climate change could bring to the system as more people become at risk of flooding. So groups like the First Street Foundation argue that, you know, this is allowing wealthy people or people just at a really greater, sort of a more untenable risk to rebuild more, accommodate more expensive losses, and that lower income policyholders tend to pay for that disproportionately. And NPR actually found that New Hampshire has one of the widest gaps between sort of who's getting a good deal and who's getting a bad deal of any state in the country. And that could be partly driven by just how many sort of these expensive second homes that we have in our system. And we have a map of all of this at nhpr.org. You can explore the data for your town. You can see your zip code's risk, the potential cost of that increase by 2050, and whether you are tending to get a good deal or a bad deal on your flood insurance.
FEMA is working to update the flood insurance program. Tell us about that. Could it address some of these inequities?
So that's what they're doing this year with what they call Risk Rating 2.0. And the main goal, they say, is to make people pay more of their fair share. And overall, under the new system, FEMA says a third of policyholders in New Hampshire will see lower rates. Most people will see minor increases, and at least 500 policyholders in the Granite State could see increases of a few hundred dollars a year or more. And those figures are pretty similar in other New England states. But, you know, unfortunately for people like Judy, they may not be able to tell for sure what kind of change in rates they're facing until this fall when the program updates.
NHPR's environment and climate reporter, Annie Ropeek. Thanks, Annie.
Thank you.
That conversation is part of our special coverage of climate change this week with the New England News Collaborative. You can see more of it at nhpr.org, and you're listening to Morning Edition from NHPR.